You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Channel 4's real-life thriller Hunted is back on our screens. Contestants try to stay on the run for 21 days, trying to avoid being captured by the hunters. But there's one pair in this year's series that's making history. I'm joined now by Stee and Chris, two contestants from this series of Hunted. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, both.
Hi, thank you very much for having us.
Hello.
Well, Stee, you're the first ever partially sighted fugitive on Hunted. What made you want to take part?
The main motivational factor is because I am partially sighted and a full-time cane user, and I'm in that weird sort of part of the spectrum where I'm not sighted and I'm not fully blind. And I think that cohort of people are underrepresented on the mainstream media. Usually, if you see somebody with a cane, they're sort of billed as fully blind. I'm very aware that when I'm out and about in the public with my cane, you know, I'm used to being challenged by members of the public and getting, you know, people approaching me, sometimes in a negative way around, why are you using an iPhone when I've just seen you get on this bus with a cane and things like that? And I thought this would be a really great way to surface that debate and those type of stereotypes and misconceptions by doing something that you don't typically see somebody that's registered blind like myself or people in the low vision community doing this type of thing. So I just thought it'd be a really cool way and a fresh take on awareness.
And do you think that the hunters may have had some preconceptions about your team because of your sight loss?
I certainly hope so. and we plan to use that, you know, for our advantage. Like, you know, the elephant in the room is the cane, right? You know, if you're trawling through hours of CCTV on the London Underground, my cane is a unique identifier for myself and Chris. So we thought we could perhaps exploit that from time to time. And sometimes I could use the cane and sometimes not use the cane and try and use that to our advantage. And definitely use the cane when we wanted to think people were going in a certain direction and we were okay with being triggered by CCTV and cameras and stuff like that. But then maybe go completely dark and covert when we wanted to cause misdirection and confusion.
We also really thought that the hunted team would underestimate us as well, you know, and probably target us because of Stee's low vision as someone that they might be able to capture quite quickly. And we wanted to try and dispel that as much as we can, Stee, didn't we? It was one of our reasons for going on the run is that, you know, it would be easy to underestimate us as a duo, and we wanted to try and prove those misconceptions wrong.
Well, Chris, you and Stee have been friends for many years. How did that friendship prepare you both for this experience?
Well, I'm used to Stee putting me in difficult situations, and treating me to experiences that I might not necessarily engage in if I was given free choice to do so. Stee really pushes me to do things that I probably wouldn't normally do. That definitely prepared us for this because it's not something that I would have chose to do. It's not something that I would have willingly participated in and didn't willingly participate in. It was under duress as Stee's mate. but I'm glad I did. And that you know, that's the kind of friendship that we've got. You know, it's a weird kind of dichotomy in our friendship that actually, you know, although Stee is experiencing low vision, he's very much a go-getter in life and adventurous and open to all sorts of activities and adventures. And despite me being fully sighted, I tend to be a little bit more reluctant to participate in these things. So it's an interesting dynamic to our friendship.
You know, it'd be funny because people be watching the show and they'd perhaps be thinking about me as the visually impaired person and how am I navigating this with a cane and the pressure and the stress and, you know, going up and down mountains and over rugged terrain and all kinds of things. And I think a big thing to showcase is the guiding. So Chris is what I would class as an extreme guide. Like Chris has guided me climbing down rock faces and lagoons in jungles in Thailand. And Chris has guided me paddleboarding Norwegian fjords and expeditions. He's not a run-of-the-mill guide that I hold his arm and go into Sainsbury's to do my weekly shop. He's guided me in very extreme situations. And I think that's a really important context for going and tackling a show like this, because every blind person or low vision person out there will probably have a couple of trusted guides that they trust in certain scenarios, and you build that trust with a guide, and it's a very personal thing. And I think that in itself is perhaps underrepresented in the media, like the just how safe you would feel with a guide and what that relationship needs to be. And I thought that'd be really good for the public to see in our own special way.
And see, during the show, you can be tracked by the hunters if you use technology like mobile phones. Did that represent a challenge for you? I mean, how much technology do you use in your everyday life outside of the show?
I mean, this was a big eye-opener, pardon the pun. I'm relying on screen reader technology. I'm relying on assistive tech. Recently, I've become quite reliant on things like smart glasses to read, information, labels, things like that. To have all of that stripped from me, I felt even more blind than what I usually do because, that just took everything off me. All my assistive tech, all my gadgets, all gone. And just, our phones were confiscated, put in police forensic bags and sent to headquarters. And that just left us totally exposed. And then if we're out and about trying to use mainstream technology and things like that, without them adaptations, I'm out. I can't use a normal computer, I can't use a normal tablet, I can't use a normal phone. So yeah, that was quite exposing.
And Chris, was taking part in the show what you'd expected it might be like? Did you know what you were getting yourselves into beforehand?
No, it was much worse. First thing, I had to spend a huge amount of time with Steve, which I wouldn't normally choose
Oh, stop it.
to do. No, Howell, it was so much harder than anything you could possibly imagine. It sounds like fun, doesn't it? Me and Steve are outdoorsy people. We like doing activities like paddle boarding and hiking and things like that. And you automatically assume you're going to go on a show like this. You can go off grid, wild camp, and do lots of fun activities. It is just not the case. You're stripped of everything that you rely on a day-to-day basis, like mobile phones, bank cards. You can't speak to your friends. You can't contact your family. And you've got a group of professional police officers and special forces people try to track your every movement and put you under pressure and catch you. It is the most immersive, most challenging experience you could possibly ever imagine to participate in. And I don't think you can prepare yourself for it until you go on there. You just couldn't. It was we had some tough times, Steve, didn't we?
It was interesting dealing with the public. It was weird not knowing where you were going to sleep that night. I've been on holidays and we've been away from our friends and family before, but to have zero contact with them and not even be able to tell them that you're safe or where you are in the country was such a weird feeling. And then in the morning, having no idea what city you were going to be in that night or if you were going to find somewhere to sleep. It was crazy, but amazing at the same time. Hell of an experience.
Chris, how are you feeling now? The hunt is over, although we don't know the result yet. Are you still sort of thinking that you might be caught at any second? Does that feeling of anxiety stay with you after the filming stops?
Howell, I've had so many dreams of running naked through fields with people chasing after me.
Didn't do
Anxiety
that. We
dream.
didn't do that, by the way, just for
No,
everyone
we
listening.
didn't
We
do
didn't do
that. No, we
that.
didn't do that. I've had so many anxiety dreams. So many memories coming back of things that we did. So obviously this we were on the run in June. There's been a little bit of a gap between us being on the run and between the show airing. And you have a little bit of a it takes a while to come over the to come off down from the experience and to relax again afterwards. Then we've had a brief lull, and then we've had the kind of lead up to the show airing, and it all comes flooding back to you. And the anxiety dreams. Even watching it, we don't know what happened to any of the fugitives. So even watching it makes me a bit nervous and anxious again. So it's an experience that lives with you. There you go. That's a nice way of describing it.
Well, Steve, what would you like people to take away when they watch you and Chris together on Hunted?
That's a good question. There's a few takeaways, I think. I guess for the low vision community, I guess the main thing I'd want them to take from this is that literally anything is possible. And if you put yourself out there and put your mind to it, you can do anything, climbing mountains, going on the run, whatever that may be. And also a big thing that's quite important to myself is cane shame and situational cane use. I'm quite active in the low vision community and I speak to a lot of men that are prolonging doing their cane training or mobility training. And, there's a lot of people that are stuck in limbo where they don't quite feel blind enough yet to use the cane because they feel like you've got to be totally blind to use it. So I'm hoping someone sees me using a cane 1 minute, not using the cane the next minute. I hope that, drives the right conversation and debate, really. So that's the main thing I wanted the low vision community to take from it. And then I guess the sighted community, I wanted them just to raise that little bit of awareness. There's a couple of things that Chris and I do, which I won't do any spoilers, but there's a couple of things where we put a sort of fresh view on just little challenges that I face that people might not have thought about. And it's good, I think, just for them to see that and to see us being normal about it and just being two lads having a bit of banter and a bit of fun with it. So it's not, I really didn't want this to be a sob story and have all the slow, sad music on and look how hard it is being blind and all that, because that's kind of how everything is at the moment. It's a bit of an echo chamber in that regard. So I wanted it to be just normalize it a bit and be a bit more, out in the mainstream.
We both represent communities of people, whether it's low vision, whether it's young kids off council estates who've had difficult upbringings, whether it's people who struggle with mental health and emotional difficulties. Me and Steve represent lots of different communities in lots of different ways, and I think the one thing that we wanted to do was one to inspire people, and make people think that anything is possible and you can overcome any barriers that are put in your way. But two, we wanted to make sure that we were a good, true, accurate representation of those communities as well. So what you see on the show is just me and Steve being me and Steve. We're not acting, we're not putting anything on, we're not trying to be something that we're not. And hopefully that comes across that we're authentic, because that was something that was really, really important to us, Steve, wasn't it?
Just to be ourselves, wouldn't it? Just to be ourselves and just come across authentically. And it is what it is. Not necessarily trying to play to a particular stereotype or anything like that. Just to be authentic, yeah.
You can watch Hunted on Sunday and Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Channel 4, available with audio description, or catch up with all of the episodes so far on Channel 4's on-demand service, C4. For now, Steve and Chris, thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, Howell, thank you.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favorite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.